Hey guys, what's happening? I'm Lance Carter and you're listening to the Daily Actor Podcast. In this episode, we're talking to Michael Rosenbaum. Michael is making his feature directing debut with Back in the Day. He's also the writer and star. And for more on the interview, here's Kristen Burt.
Hi, it's Kristen Burt for Daily Actor. Now, my interview with Michael Rosenbaum for the film Back in the Day was definitely unconventional. In fact, it turned a bit personal as we chatted about making choices to live in Los Angeles and leaving your hometown behind. It can seem glamorous, but there are definitely sacrifices as well. That's exactly what Back in the Day focuses on. An aspiring actor who reflects on his life as he goes home for a high school reunion in Indiana. While the ideas may seem deep, it's actually a hilarious 90-minute romp that I think Rosenbaum's fans will enjoy. Now, this won't be the actor's only foray behind the camera. He's got a slate of projects that should be coming up in the next few years that I think you'll want to check out. Before we go to the Michael Rosenbaum interview, I'm going to hand it back to Lance, who will wrap it up.
Thanks, Kristen. Yeah, you should definitely check out the film. I think you're going to like it, especially if you're a fan of his. Also, you should check out Hit and Run. It's a film directed by Dax Shepard that he also stars in that I think you're going to really, really like. And now I'm going to throw a few plugs your way. If you need a website, casting director mailing labels, career coaching, list of headshot photographers in your area, we've got all of that and more. Just head on over to dailyactor.com. And now, here's Michael.
Let's do it. I'm ready.
All right, well, let's talk about Back in the Day, because clearly it looks like to me that you have some autobiographical elements to it. What inspired you to write it?
I love going back home. I go to play wiffle ball in my small town where I grew up in Newburgh, Indiana, in Evansville, twice a year. People don't understand why. I say, come back and you'll see, and they do, and they're like, wow. It's just a bunch of guys playing wiffle ball who are a little overage, you know, they're in their mid-30s or 40s, and drinking beer and eating strombolis and hanging out, and it's just, I grew up in a small town, and it's just, we used to cut through backyards and drink at a garden hose and play flashlight tag and catch fireflies, and I miss that essence, and when I'm here, it's just like the character in the movie where he has to go back, because it's not only he goes back for a reunion, but he starts to fall in love with the town he ran away from so many years ago. And I left, and I thought, I'm going to be the one who gets out of here. I'm going to be the one who goes and becomes an actor. This guy only becomes, regardless of what he's become, he's like the nationwide insurance guy with the big thumbs up all the time. All city insurance, always there, all the time, all in. And when he gets home, his friends give him shit, and they go, all the time, balls deep. And, you know, I think it's one of those things where I'm 41 now, and I'm like going, wow, you know, it's not a pity party. It's like, wow, I did Smallville and movies, and I made some money, and shouldn't I be just on top of the world? But then you go back home, and you see your friends with their families and their kids and their... And it's just this sweet, and you're like, what did I miss out? Did I wait? Did I go in a different direction where, you know, there's a line in the movie where Morena Baccarin's character, Lori, says, are you happy? And I go, no. I said, are you happy? She goes, well, who's really happy? And I go, well, happy people, I guess. It's kind of like, what the, and in a sense, it's like, it's what you find, what really makes people happy. And when I go back home, there's that innate goodness about the Midwest. There's
sense
that
of community.
Sense of community.
We don't have here
it's
in
just
LA.
Like the generosity. You can't rent a high school out for free. People are like, fuck you, give me 20 grand.
And
for
let me see your permit.
Let me see your permit. We want money. Yeah. Change the name of the high school. They're like, yeah, shoot in our high school for 3 days for free. Shoot at Pizza King for free. Shoot at the Knob Hill. My friend Phil went and slept in a Howard Johnson's or some shit to let me use his house. You don't find that here.
Right.
I had to go home. I you know, there was something, you know, you talk about this project, it was like, it's a passion project. A lot of these stories sort of happen. These characters are all based loosely on people and, mm-hmm. you know, some of them. And, you know, I felt like I had to go film in Indiana.
It kind of takes a village. Like, they all helped you with the project in some way.
This movie's for Indiana. This movie's for, I think people are going to, you know, get a kick out of it. And I think they'll appreciate that. You know, I think most people go back to their hometowns or their small towns and say, oh, this is the fattest city in the country. Or, oh, this is the most depressed city in the country. I'm like, this is the most beautiful city in the country. Fuck you. Go and visit. And you'll find out how cool and interesting Midwesterners are.
And
I couldn't imagine growing a family in Los Angeles. Not to put Los Angeles down.
You get it.
But I don't know how people do it. I mean, I remember, like I told you, just living in a neighborhood where we walked to school and cut through yards and, you know.
You can't send your kids on the street here. It's
different. Everybody's so, you know, everybody's, all these kids are so hip and they got their phones. Take phones away from children. My niece texted me. All these emojicons, what do they call them?
Emojis? Emoticons, either one.
She's 10 years old. She goes, "You're a terrible uncle. You don't text me back." I'm like, "You're 10 years old. Get off a cell phone.
Go outside and play.
Call me from a freaking landline like a normal 10-year-old. So, I don't know, man, this world. But look, I got off on a tangent, but
No, but it makes sense, though, because I think for people in L.A. especially, it's a story that a lot of us can relate to if you've gone back. I grew up in small town Massachusetts, yeah. So I totally understand.
Worcester?
Not Worcester.
My uncle lived in Worcester.
Worcester. Andover.
Back to Cod and have it yet?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
Yeah, I don't have the accent, though, thank God.
But going back home is like, I just, man, there's something about it. I'm drawn to it. I'm drawn.
Do you think you'll wind up back there? Like,
I always say so. I always thought, what? Because do you ever go through this? I think the character in the movie back in the day, Jim, I put myself in a situation, what would really make me happy? When I go back home, and I go, that's what Jim does. He goes back home, and he starts to see, wow, their families, and they're together, and they're this, and there's this, like, calmness about the sweetness. And there's something inside of me that always does it. And so when you say, will I go back? Well, I always said, look, if I go back right now, if I left right now, like, I know Insatiable Me wants to direct another movie, wants to do all these things, and loves this, and loves going to Laker games and having fun, and there's all these jokes about that stuff, too, about being Hollywood. But if I went home right now and taught maybe an acting class at the college or was it hockey coach for junior hockey?
Sure.
For the Bantams High School or Midgets or, I call them Midgets.
Pee-wees.
I'm not making fun of small people. Or Pee-wees. I think I'd be really happy. I sometimes think, I think we kind of question, are you happy with what you're doing? And everybody has it. So that's the reality of the movie, the underlying,
theme of it all, yeah.
Or through line is, everybody always wants more. Everybody's searching for happiness. That's the one goal. If you ask anybody, would you rather have all the money in the world or just be broke and happy as shit? I'm picking happy.
Happy's a better place to be.
I don't care what anybody said.
It's easier. It's honestly easier.
I was broke. My family, they were broke growing up, until I was like 10 years old. My dad started to make a little money,
mm-hmm.
but I knew what the value of money was, and I think that's important. And so you got to find out what makes you happy. And I think to love and be loved is incredible. You can really love someone and really do things altruistically or unconditionally or whatever.
It's pure.
That's pure, and that's something that we all strive for. That's what I strive for. And I think so. He goes back home. Out of selfishness, going, oh, I'll go back because I'm miserable. But then he goes back and goes, wow, I just learned so much from the people that I never thought I'd learn anything from.
Not expecting it.
So, yeah, everyone's pretty content in their life, and he learns a lot from them. And so.
Well, how about you? You've been an actor. This is your writing and directorial debut. What was it like for you to be in charge? Because I've got to imagine this was a big learning lesson for
anybody
you.
Who knows me, look, I just brought all my friends to Disney World for New Year's Eve. I'm a leader. I organized softball, flag football, kickball, bowling. And when I don't, people are like, dude, what's going on?
What's wrong with you?
I'm like, you guys can do this. So I always was like, you know what? I like to have fun. I like to think that I'm fun to be around. And I wanted to do, I mean, this may sound egotistical, but I like control. I like having control. I like being on set. I like calling the shots. I like to think I know what's funny. And if I don't, I have other people around me who are all talented and funny. And I said, well, what's on paper is fine. But I know that these guys are going to bring it.
Yep.
And Nick Swartz and Harlan Williams and Sarah and Morena and Emma and all these, and Jay and Isaiah and Nick, Chris, and I'll name all of them. And Mike and who else?
We'll be here all day.
Liz. No, but anyway, whatever.
I mean, that seems to be like the best part. Was there a hard part that you didn't expect?
Yes. There were the first 2 weeks I felt like I could do this. Wow, I'm a born director. And then one day happened, wiffle ball scene, it rains, shot list out the window, we've got to create, we've got to somehow shoot the scene handheld. They've already let some actors go home, so now other actors are reading with, like assistants who don't know how to act and are reading their lines off camera. And somebody's being short with somebody, and so-and-so's being short, and they're like, oh my God, is this first-time director? No, I don't know if they said that, but I'm sure in my mind, I was like, oh my God, this is the ship's fucking gonna sink. It was just one day, and all these other days are brilliant. And it's one of those days where you're like, oh my God, can I do this? And then you fucking say, you put it together, you get your team together, and you say, how are we gonna make this work? Let's make this work. And the next day, we got a record of like 63 setups. Which is unheard of. Like,
that's huge.
And I said to my DP and my AD, and I said, hey, today was rough, but tomorrow it's going to be beautiful.
As an actor, did you feel a little bit more nitpicky on your, you know, what you were doing?
You know what? I trusted myself as an actor. I've done enough work where I was like, you know what? If you're worried and paranoid and insecure and going, oh, am I good enough? Am I, and all those things, you're going to fail. You've got to trust how good you think you are. You just got to say, I'm good. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to worry about me. My goal is to worry about everybody else and make sure their performances, because they gave their time and they're in Indiana, and I've got to make sure that they're taken care of.
Yep.
So I made sure everybody's performance was good. And I looked at my producer and my best friend Tom and my AD Sherry, and I said, hey, watch my back. Watch these takes. If I need more energy, tell me to do another one, because I'm not going to watch my shit. I know the shot. I know how close you are on the camera. If it's not good, if it's good, we're moving on.
Yep.
And you don't have time to look at your shit. You're shooting 8 pages a day. So I just trusted. I trusted the people I was working with. You got to let go. As much control, as much of a control freak, you got to let your DP do his job, your AD do her job, your producer do the job, and your actors, let them do their shit.
Called delegating, isn't it?
Delegating.
Yeah. You know, all the fans were asking, I just want to make sure I get it out, like, what are you working on next? They're dying. To know.
You know, I'm definitely going to direct another movie. That's happening. So I can't say what it is, but it's going to be happening by the summer probably, and they'll hear about it shortly. And I'm really excited, and I think it's going to be a little bigger of a budget, and, you know.
You writing it?
I wrote it. And I've written a couple horror movies, mm-hmm. and so there's a horror movie coming that could be made soon. And also there's a TV show that I'm going to make digitally for a studio. So I think that's going to happen too. So we're just dealing with contracts and stuff. There's a lot of good stuff around.
That's good. I'm glad to hear that.
I'm blessed.
Thanks, Michael, and thank you guys for listening. Keep coming back to Daily Actor for more great interviews, news from film, TV, and theater, and so much more. Follow me on Twitter at Daily Actor and like our Facebook page, facebook.com/Daily Actor. Also, be sure to follow Kristen on Twitter, twitter.com/Kristen Burt, KRISTYN. BURTT. Thanks for supporting the advertisers. I'm Lance, and I'll talk to you soon.